John chapter 4. Turn with me if you would. John chapter 4. This morning while we were in the service, actually in the prayer time and the altar service, and this, you know, I really believe it's from the Lord because it was not in my thought at all. Actually, I was earlier in the week, I had some other things that I was intending to a direction for this service tonight. But as we were here just walking and praying here, I just felt the Lord wanted me to talk about miracles and that we need a miracle from God. And so just for a few minutes tonight, I don't know, there's probably a number of you here tonight that you are in need of a manifest, supernatural work of God in a need that you have, a miracle that you have. First thing that comes to our minds often today, and it's a sad thing because there's been such an abuse and misuse of the terminology of miracles. The first thing that comes to people's minds is TV evangelist and, you know, prayer clause and not prayer clause, but prayer this and prayer that and all the different things, you know, mystical things, kind of bizarre and sometimes even embarrassing things that are promoted under the guise of miracles. And the enemy always uses that tactic to try to drive people away from the promises of God and from the reality of what God wants to do. Let's read some verses here in John chapter 4. I won't take a long time, although I probably could, but I won't. John 4 and verse number 46, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was coming out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired of he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And remember the experience that Jesus had at Cana, that the wedding of Cana, and there the Bible says, and it references that here in this, and you have to turn back to chapter 2 to read more about the first miracle of the Lord that's recorded in the scripture, and that is the miracle of the turning of the water into wine. It's a great story and a wonderful miracle that set the precedent for the kind of ministry that Jesus was going to have. And for those that count things in the Bible, I don't, but I just find other people that have counted. They say that there are 34 miracles recorded in the Gospels, that there are over 300, something like 330 miracles that are recorded in the Scripture. And so the fact that there is this great biblical foundation for the miraculous, for the people of God. Now, what takes place when there is a miracle? What is it that takes place? And for those of you that need a miracle, there's a lot of people that are in need. And I've really had Boyd Miracle. He's got a good name for a miracle. But he's really in need. And since he called and the other day and was in such a desperation and asking for prayer, I know that God can work miracles. He can move as He's moving this little child. And for others of you that maybe yet have expressed the thing or the burden or the problems, I have personally things that are on my heart. Things that I have need of some miracles in my life, in my family. I really believe that there are numbers of people in our church. Our church needs some miracles. We need God to show up and to manifest Himself. And really the best way to understand what happens as far as a miracle is concerned is that it's when God breaks into the natural course of things. The natural order of things. And begins to move in a supernatural way. He works and He changes or He provides or He heals or whatever it is. It's when God steps in to the regular natural order of the things are going, and He steps in and He changes all of that. It is a supernatural act of God. That is a miracle. Now we know the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation and conversion. There's no greater miracle than when God turns a sinner into a saint, when he repents of his sin. What a wonderful miracle it is when someone gets saved. Amen. God loves to manifest His power. The word miracle that's found many places, I think at least 10 places in the New Testament, comes from the Greek word that means token or sign. Something that is pointing toward something. It is pointing toward Him. The purpose for miracles is that He be recognized and glorified. Amen. God doesn't just do miracles just to do magical things and so that everyone can see what He can do. God works miracles with purpose. God works miracles because it is a sign or a token that He wants us to know that there is a supernatural world and a supernatural power, and that He can break through into our lives in the natural way that things are going in our life, and that when He does, His name is glorified in it. Amen. Glory to God. And that's why God involves Himself with the people of God. That's why that He is a God of miracles. That's why He did the first miracle in John chapter 2, turning the water into wine as he established the foundation for the kind of ministry that He was going to have. And then again here in John chapter 4, the second miracle that took place. Amen. I told you that I read that someone else counted all the various miracles in the Bible. There were 330 some of them that they counted in the Scripture. But to whoever counted them all, I need to remind them that there's another verse in the Bible in John chapter 21 and verse 25 that says that, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. They're not even recorded. And if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And so just as fast as the scribes and the writers and the apostles could write and give the accounts of the miracles, there were things happening every day and throughout every day of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Every day was a miraculous day. Every word was a word of power and miracle. Everything that He did was miraculous. And it pointed to Him and to His power and to what He can do. Amen. Job, even out of his despair, describing the greatness of our God, he said, He doeth great things past finding out. Yea, and wonders without number. And so for all the miracle counters, too bad. Because he's performed so many miracles that they could never be counted. And the things that you need and the things that I need. And He has invited us to come to Him and to ask Him and to believe. Not only was Jesus a miracle worker. Not only did He work miracles through His prophets and through different ones in the Old Testament. Not only are these all these wonderful recorded miracles, but there's also the promise of the fact that He has delegated to you and me a supernatural power to be involved in these miracles. Amen. He gave to His disciples power, Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 1, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so he delegated the power to those disciples and to everyone, every disciple that was to follow. He delegated that spiritual power. Amen. And he's also delegated to those and has given to us the wonderful gifts of the Spirit that would accompany the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. The Bible says that we are to seek after the gift, to earnestly seek after these gifts of the Spirit. They are something we are to desire in our lives. And you know, they're listed there in Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge of the same by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. That which accompanies that person filled with the Holy Ghost, you are exactly in order, and you are within your rights to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, would you use me? Lord, would you allow me to be involved in your miraculous intervention in the lives of people? Lord, would you allow me to be used in the working of miracles through the gifts of the Spirit of God? Ask Him to allow you to be involved, not for your glory. Remember that the miracles are always a sign pointing to our Lord, to glorify Him for what He can do. And so it's not so that you can demonstrate who you are or how spiritual you are, but it's so that you can also partner in the work of the ministry of miracles. And the working of miracles. Hallelujah. And oh, we need some miracles, folks. We need God to work some miracles. We go along with our needs and our problems, and we're challenged by them, and seemingly losing battles instead of winning, and struggling in different strongholds of the enemy in our lives, in our homes, in our families, and in our ministries. And we need God to break through. We need God to come and intervene. We need the miraculous hand of God to step in to do what you can't do for yourself. To do what we can't do for ourselves. The church needs to be involved in the miraculous power of God. Every work and every ministry and every effort that we're putting forth, we need to be a people of miracles. Amen. You say, I don't think I qualify to be a miracle worker. Well, neither did this nobleman. Let's read about him here in John chapter 4. It says that he heard, apparently he had heard about the miracle at Cana, because he hears that he's coming out of Galilee, and he travels from Capernaum back to the place of that first miracle, because he had heard the fame of the power of God to work miracles. And this man, it doesn't appear at all that he was a believer in Jesus Christ, as far as an understanding of the gospel or anything like that. The Bible says he was a nobleman, which just means that he was in the king's court. Most believe that this nobleman was probably a relative of Herod. That the name nobleman literally means little king. He was like in the a place of authority and in a place of the king's court. And so he was a Gentile, and he was not necessarily interested at all in the things of the Lord. The only thing that brought him to Jesus was the fact that his child was sick. His little child was sick. And so he didn't have any qualifications. He hadn't served the Lord. He didn't even know much about Jesus. All that he knew is that he could work miracles. And he was desperate for help. He was desperate in his desire for a miracle. And so he comes. He travels. It's apparently about a half a day's journey that he traveled. Maybe he traveled with all of his, group. What's a good word? Art, help me. Entourage. There's a good word. He traveled with them all, and no doubt showed up there and had this encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and knew very little about Him. All that he knew is that he had heard about his power and his miracles. This certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum traveled a half a day's journey when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. And he went unto him and besought him. This is a word. This is a word. This is not a man who is stating his desire by his authority or position. This is not a nobleman talking. This is a dad talking. This is a father. And you'll notice later on down in the text it says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour. Amen. And so he just happened to be a nobleman, but really he was just a dad that knew that his son was about to die. And he no doubt, because of his position and his connections with the king's court, he probably had every available possible cure, magician, physician that was available to him. No doubt everything was available to him. He was probably at his wit's end. And I'm just assuming that, but I think it's something that we could easily assume was taking place here, because he made this journey. He'd heard that there might be hope in a man by the name of Jesus. He'd heard the rumor of his miraculous power, and he wanted help. He wanted help. So don't think you have to be some super spiritual person. Don't think that you have to be someone, you know, that has all these spiritual gifts. You just need to be desperate. You just need to be in need and want God to change the situation that you're in. Like this nobleman who was a daddy concerned about his little boy. And he comes to Jesus and asks him, would you come? Would you come? He didn't know that much about Jesus. He didn't understand that location was really all that mattered. Or that location really mattered. It really didn't matter. But he thought that it did. That's why he had traveled the distance that he did there to Cana. He heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, and he went into him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he is at the point of death. And Jesus said unto him, and he was talking not only to him, but to all of those Galileans, and saying to them, you all are interested in signs and wonders. Except you see them, then you will believe. But the Bible says that the nobleman didn't let that deter him at all. Instead, he says, sir, come down ere my child dies. He didn't let anything discourage him, anything from stop him. He just kept asking him for help. And immediately Jesus spoke the word, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he believed it. They believed him. Now there's some real important principles about miracles here that I believe that we need to take notice of here just for a minute. It starts with prayer. If you want a miracle, it starts with prayer. It starts with calling on God. And you have to ask God. And you have to come to Him in desperation. You have to come to Him in humility. You have to come to Him recognizing that He's not just the next thing you're trying, but He's your last hope. And you come to the Lord with that kind of a prayer that is desperate before the Lord. Amen. It has to start with prayer. You have to call out to the Lord. And that's the way that he approached him, with this intense desire. Oh, would you take care of my little son? He's going to die if you don't heal him. If you don't come and take care of my need, Lord. He's going to die. And it was his pressing. It was his desperation. It was his humility. Jesus knew him and he knew his heart. And it started with this man's prayer, who didn't really know how to pray. But sometimes the best prayers are not the rehearsed prayers. Sometimes the best prayers are just the heart cry of a desperate person that says, Lord, help me in this situation that I'm in. Lord, deliver me from this predicament that I'm in. Well, as soon as I heard about that little baby being born, or being burned rather, I don't know. Well, that's something, you know, I really have a place in my heart for little babies, but I tell you, that was so upsetting to me. So disturbing to me. And that little baby, the parents were trying to clean the coffee pot and had put water and bleach in the coffee pot. And so the water had got scalding hot, and the baby climbed up there and pulled that down, burned the baby's torso, and then the water fell down on the baby's feet. The face wasn't really burned, or the legs, but the baby was in such intense pain that they had to put the baby into a coma because of the horribleness of the burn. I don't know about you, that upsets me. And so when I heard that, as soon as I got that call, I just said, Lord, help that baby. Lord, help that baby. Lord, help that little child. That little child is in such need. I believe the Lord heard your prayer, my prayer, and the prayers of some other people. And God's going to work in that situation.
Amen.
He's going to give us a miracle in that situation. And then when Boyd called me, I believe it was the same day when Boyd called me, and I could tell from his voice, he's very weak, telling me what the doctor had just come from the doctor. And then he stopped and he got quiet for a minute, and I could hear that he was weeping and crying, and said, finally, he said, Brother Jarvis, they tell me I've only got a few weeks to live. Now, what do you tell somebody that's up against something like that? How do you answer them? How do you help them in a time like that? I didn't know what to say, but I just said, Boyd, doctors help us a lot and they're good, but they don't know everything. There's a lot of people that know how to pray, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God helps you and that God moves in this situation. And the will of God can be accomplished in that, and it might be God's will to heal his body. It might be the will of God to raise him up from that cancer. And a lot of desperate situations. And some of you here this evening, you've got some desperate situations in your life. And some great needs in your life. And you really haven't felt like that you are worthy to ask the Lord to help you. But you are. You are. Just go ahead. Just go ahead and ask him. Just go ahead and call on the Lord. Go ahead and ask him to help you. Go ahead and ask him for a miracle in your situation. And let's believe God. Amen. That man heard the word of the Lord and he got a hold of that. The Bible says he believed it. He heard what Jesus said and he believed what he said. And he turned and he went. He believed that it was that the report that he got concerning his son, that it was directly connected to what Jesus had said, because he said, what hour was this now? When was it that he recovered and regained his strength and revived and the fever was gone? And they told him and he said, I believed it. I believed it. I believed it when he spoke it. I believed it when he spoke it, because now, these few hours later, that he is restored, and I know that exact hour that Jesus did it. His name is glorified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So the Father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. Glory to God. Amen. Now this is a big thing when you understand who he was. He was in Herod's court. He was probably a relative to Herod. He was a man with great authority. And through this one miracle, the name of the Lord is glorified. And this son is healed. And the name of the Lord, and salvation comes to the whole household of this nobleman. You think that didn't shake up Herod's household? Yes, it did. And the name of the Lord was glorified. God works miracles. And one of the primary ways that he does, or reasons that he does, is that his name would be glorified.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. And if there are those of you don't have to tell me what it is or tell anyone what it is, but you need a specific miracle from God, and you'll stand up right now. You need a specific miracle from God, and you'll stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It really doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Makes no difference. Amen. All you need to be is a desperate person before God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me remind you that he was a Gentile. He was not a believer. He did not have necessarily any rights as far as the kingdom of God and Jesus was concerned. He just had heard of him. He believed in him. And he came and he asked him. And that's you. That's me. I have need of miracles. We have need of some miracles. We need some miracles right here in our church. We need God to supernaturally move. Supernaturally move. And those of you that are standing right now, hallelujah, I want to ask you just to take this time right now and do like that nobleman did and ask God. Ask the Lord in faith. Ask the Lord with confidence. Ask the Lord and believe that he hears your prayer and your cry. And don't give up in your desire and your request. Press through and ask the Lord to give you a miracle. Hallelujah. And he wants to do that. Amen. Now the Lord wouldn't totally turn the direction of my thoughts for this service tonight if he didn't want to do some things for some people here tonight. Hallelujah. So this asking. Amen. Would you, right now, everybody, right where you are, you don't have to come to the altar unless you want to. Let's call out to the Lord right now. Father, oh Lord, I know you care about us. I know that you're mindful of us. And you know, Lord, the needs of every man and woman that's standing right now. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful promises of God. And Lord, that you can step right in to my situation and to the situations that are represented right here in this service. Oh, God, you can step in. And we ask you to do it, Lord. Oh, we ask you to do it, Lord. Not because we can do anything about it, but that your name will be glorified. And there will go forth a testimony, Lord, that you have worked. And you have moved, Lord. And the hearts of people have, in their simplicity, they have just cried out to you, Lord. In their humility, they have cried out to you and they have asked you to move. Oh, God, move, we pray, with your supernatural power. Step in, Lord. Show yourself strong in our physical needs. Oh, Lord, in our families. Step in, Lord, in our health. Lord, in our finances. Step in, Lord, to the problems, Lord, of spiritual bondage and hindrances and all kinds of things that the enemy is using to try to destroy and hinder. Oh, God, just give freedom and liberty and deliverance, Lord, to those that are in need of it. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I know you can restore homes and marriages. I know, Lord, that you can turn things around in families for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I know that you can save and you can deal. You can take care of every need we have. Oh, Lord, for those that are standing because they're pressed with financial needs and burdens that the enemy is using to hinder them and to weigh them down. Lord, I just ask you, God, to manifest your mighty power. Lord, we need your favor. We need your blessing. We need your miraculous power manifested here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And for each one of these that are standing, would there be someone? Let's walk over and stand by them. And let's agree together in prayer for each person standing right now. Everybody that's in need of a miracle, would you do that? Would you walk over and pray for somebody? And let's agree together and believe God to minister.